This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our ultimate, our final Q&A with Layla for 2020.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been quite a year.
Yeah.
So here we be, Layla and I, once again, with our final podcast of the year as we close out 2020. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Now, we both had to hasten back from our, I was cruising the Mediterranean. You were out in Baja, California.
Yes.
And we just flew back.
Yes, we just flew back.
So we could, because we're so dedicated to doing this, that, you know, lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Right.
It's important for us to do these things.
Yes.
Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. We'll get to your questions momentarily. I'll first share this thought with you. It's cold. It's inhospitable outside. Nevertheless, it's important to maintain physical activity this time
yes.
of year.
Yes, yep.
Because
that's when we tend to get lazy.
These are the darkest days. We're in lockdown in many parts of the country.
Yeah.
And so there's a real disincentive. You know, it's like you wake up and it's cold. You look at it's going to be 20 degrees outside, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, you know, it's raining, snowy, it's icy.
Days are still short.
Days are short. Get out there and do something.
Yeah.
Because it's important. And it's especially important this year because notwithstanding the vaccine, which we're eyeing as a potential solution, or at least partial amelioration of the pandemic. That remains to be seen. But there's a big article here which states that there is a compelling link between physical activity and the body's defense system.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, this is an important concept, is that exercise, not in excess, but,
right.
You know,
it's like a bell-shaped curve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that the prisoners who were on the Bataan Death March got a lot of exercise, but they succumbed to all kinds of serious
sure.
diseases because that was overwhelming their immune system, you know, mm-hmm. that degree of excess exertion. So, you know, there's an article here, and I'm looking at it from Science Direct. It's in the Journal of Sport and Health Science from 1919, last year. And it says, this review research...
2019 last year?
2019 last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it isn't next year yet. We're still in 2020. This review summarizes research within four areas of exercise. Immunology. There's a whole field, exercise immunology. They found that heavy exertion was associated with transient immune dysfunction. We know that from marathon
yeah.
contestants.
Yeah,
they get colds very often after very high level of, you know,
right.
ultra endurance exercise. But they do find that moderate exercise bolsters the immune system. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The immune system is very responsive to exercise, and so there's enhanced immunosurveillance with moderate exercise. That
mm-hmm.
would be good, you know, because
that's
the guardians of our immune system.
Mm-hmm.
There's reduced inflammation in physically active and lean individuals.
Yes.
That would be good also for surviving COVID.
Yes. And for, you know, beating the flu and a bad cold.
Yeah.
Too.
So, you know, an exercise mitigates the effects of aging on immune function. There's something called immunosenescence, and we can sort of preserve the viability of our immune response by maintaining exercise. So what did you do in that vein? What have you been doing in that vein with these cold days and you can't go to the gym? And you
know, I don't go to the gym. I only exercise in the house. Okay. I don't have a gym membership.
Okay.
I can't, when I was a runner, I could never run in the cold weather.
Right.
It would hurt my lungs. It would just hurt. Okay. I didn't like it. And I didn't want to cover my mouth. But now, of course, we have to cover our mouths all the time, don't we? So anyway.
I never cover my mouth when I'm running. When I'm running, it's like I'm not around people.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
But
I'm indoors with yoga and strength training.
Good.
Alternatively.
You have some light weights?
Yeah. Well, mostly the weight of my own body, which is something. I do have some light weights, however, that I do. Yeah. I got to be careful here, though.
I have been trying an experiment, and it's an experiment of necessity. You know, this year it's pushed me outside because I can't go to the gym. My gym is closed. I mean, there are other gyms. Many places are a little more liberal, shall we say, than New York City, where I reside.
Yes.
But a lot of gyms are closed. So my gym will open up for very limited activities. A half an hour of swim. You have to have reservations. You have to go there. You know, wear a mask. You know, and I'm going to do that starting next year, which is welcome because I have.
Do you wear a mask in the pool?
No, wearing a mask in the pool, I think is no. I don't think. So.
Okay. I don't.
It's like wear a mask to the pool, take the mask off in the pool.
Just curious.
Actually, I
just instead keep of the water out of your mouth.
Instead of a bathing suit, I'm going to wear a mask. You know, it's like
that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's like you know those European bathing suits, those you know Speedos,
right.
You know whatever. Yeah, no, I'm going to do that, but I've been really testing myself to see about my cold endurance and cold resilience, and that's another way you can enhance resilience is by exposing yourself to cold temperatures.
Yes.
And so I've been cycling a lot outside. I got, you know, a bicycle. Well, I actually had a bicycle, but I needed a bicycle for another place where I'm, you know, cycling, that one's more adapted to hills.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm cycling all over the place. I did a 19-miler this weekend in New Jersey. And, you know, it's hilly there, which is nice. It was about 30 degrees when I started. It ended up warming up into the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were some icy patches of the road, which I avoided. You know, it's like that's black ice is problematic on a bike. You know, you can
totally
skid out. Yeah. So.
And you know what that's about, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been there, done that. So I don't want another, you know, one broken hip is enough. Running outside, yeah. But a lot of people, you know, just walking, and where I am in New Jersey, they're very health conscious people.
Mm-hmm.
I see them walking in the coldest weather. They're really, I think these are the
walking is good. Walking in cold weather is wonderful. It's rejuvenating.
Yeah.
Your cheeks are pink. It feels good. It's
warming,
actually.
It's a stress buster too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's an element of confinement, claustrophobia, gloom, inertia. And, you know, I think a lot of these people are probably working at home, so they have the opportunity to, like, you know, take a break, go outside, take a walk.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm encouraging people to do that, you know, just
bundle up and go.
Yeah. I mean,
take a long, long walk.
And, you know, so not a baklava. Baklava is the dessert.
Yes.
A balaclava. That's that thing that covers your head, you know,
and
your face peers out. It doubles as a mask.
There you go.
You know, I've tried to get a snood. You know, a snood is like one of these things that you put around your neck and you pull it up over your face.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
like
a
that's a good idea,
a gator
actually.
Or something.
It's like a gator, right?
Yeah. And they're all sold out because people are using them as masks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also really good to, you know, for your cold experience.
Exactly.
Some people can't, their lungs don't handle the cold very
well. But the other problem with that, same with the mask, is that it all gets wet.
Yes, it's
and then it's gross.
Wet and cold,
and then
it freezes.
I can't, So no running in the cold for me, no.
Yeah, so anyway, find a way.
Yes.
You know, whether it's, and the other thing I got is stretch bands, very important.
Wonderful.
Easy to do inside. And I have a door anchor, so I put it at the top of a door.
Oh, good.
Make sure it's a strong door. You know, and then, you know, because you don't want the thing to pull out and smack you in the face.
Right. There's another over-the-door thing for pull-ups.
You do the over-the-door things. I've broken a couple of door jams doing that, so you got to make sure that you have a good door frame. You know, your husband's a contractor. You should know about that. Some doors are not built for those things.
And right.
So you can either fall down and break your tailbone, or you can break the door, you know,
because you
tighten it too much.
Oh, actually, I don't think it goes on the door as it goes onto the jam above
above. Yeah. But there is the sort of the use of the screw into the, and you know, just keep doing it and doing it, eventually, like you crack the door frame. So anyway, so enough of discourse. And suffice it to say, exercise could be part of your bulwark against COVID, or at least serious consequences of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also from, you know, the inertia of being at home all the time and it's dark and we need to get out. Best to get out when the sun is out as well during the day rather than at night. But do what works for your schedule. You know, get up early in the morning and go for a walk. The days are now starting to get just a tiny bit longer.
Right, right.
I realized last night when it was just hitting dusk right before 5 p.m.
Right, as opposed to 4, 10 or...
Exactly, you know, right, which is like, oh my God, it's dark.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I know. So
those of you listening to us in, some sort of Arctic, weather station. You know, this doesn't apply to
Greenland.
You. Yeah, you won't see the sun until, next April. Sorry.
In Greenland, how did they do that? I was watching a documentary and it's just dark and blowing 70 miles an hour all the time. How do you do that? How do you live like that?
They need SAD lights. They need those sad lights.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got a very nice note from Marie. Love your show. Love you both. Wishing you a blessed, happy, healthy new year. Thank you for your wonderful information, Marie.
Yep.
That's very sweet, Marie. Happy New Year
to
you, too.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
That was a very nice. Yeah. Now, we have we had a part two to a question from last week from Desert Boy.
Okay.
Desert Boy says, my wife is 72 years old. I'm sure she is not alone with all that is going on now in the world on this issue. COVID. She has an anxiety level that's increased where it's interfering with her daily life. Her PCP, primary care physician, wants to put her on Lexapro. I say no to Lexapro. I was wondering what supplements you feel safe to take for anxiety. I know you have to caution with some, like Kava. Kava, you got to watch liver function after a while.
Well, let me just say that I do not take an inalterable stand against pharmaceutical medications. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If that is not to your liking, find the I Hate Drugs herbal pharmacopoeia podcast.
Yeah.
Because you can tune out, but you know, this is about intelligent medicine and the deployment of whatever works.
Is best.
And depression and anxiety are very debilitating and life is short.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to go through life in a state of perpetual agitation, depression, and misery. And for some reason, some people are biochemically predisposed to this. Perhaps it's upbringing. You know, they've been strongly imprinted with, anxiety and fear. Maybe they have a form of PTSD. Maybe they've been abused.
Yeah.
Any number of things can contribute to that. And then as you age, you become less resilient. You really do. I mean, you feel a little shaky, a little less...
Not as secure.
Stalwart, you know, in the face of adversity, and it becomes tougher. And you may
not
have physical
strong,
Yeah, and your brain actually, you know, it's like a light bulb that goes a little on a dimmer. And maybe parts of the brain that are associated with overcoming anxiety and stemming fear, which is based in the amygdala, they don't exert as much restraint and control on those primal emotions.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like the brain, gets tired and you lose resilience.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's an anecdote. I have a relative who is, God bless her, 101 and a half.
God bless her. My goodness.
And she's a pretty perky lady, but in her 90s, she started becoming extremely timorous and extremely anxious and everything got her upset. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we tried the natural things and there's a limit to what they can do. And finally, I acceded to her taking some Lexapro, a low dose. And you don't generally want elderly people to take, you know, these powerful psychiatric meds.
Yeah.
But a low dose. Mm-hmm. It had a transformative effect on her.
Wonderful.
She has really become, you know, cheerful and very open to, I mean, look, she's not adventuresome. She's not like, yeah, let's go, cruising in the car.
She's 101 and a half.
Yeah.
Her cruising days may be kind
right.
of behind
the
her.
Life is circumscribed yeah. to the, you know, the house, you know,
yeah.
upstairs, downstairs. It's worked for her and it can work for some people. And it,
sure.
you know, today we saw an example of a patient where it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It was a young patient mm-hmm. and she said, yeah, you know, I was very anxious. They put me on Lexapro. I felt tired. I mean,
yeah.
I felt not, she felt dead. She
yes.
felt like wrapped in
flattened.
Cotton, you know,
yeah.
kind of thing. And it one of three things can happen with Lexapro. Either
mm-hmm.
it can work, which is the basis for its approval, that it does work sometimes, in the minority of times, but it can work.
Yeah.
Or you feel nothing. It's like, it's not doing anything. What's in this? It's nothing. Or I don't like the way it makes me feel.
Yes.
But it is also not a medication that, shortens your life or mm-hmm. damages your organs if
right.
given properly.
Yes.
And
it's not something with hefty side effects.
It can work. It can,
right.
work.
It can work.
So
yeah.
it's a door worth opening. But, you know, short of that, there are natural interventions. What I like to do is I like to look holistically at a person and not just say, try this, try that, try that. You know, it's like, that's like psychiatry. It's like, okay, try, well, you know, Wellbutrin, try Prozac, try, you know,
Zoloft,
try, you know, Lexapro, try, you know,
yeah.
Lamotrigine, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Down mm-hmm. the line, you know, it's kind of like throwing darts at the dartboard. Same thing with supplements, you know, try CBD, try, you know, theanine, try,
right.
you know, these things can help.
Try GABA.
SAMe, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Magnesium.
SAMe.
You know, all these things.
Yeah.
That could help, but if it's not, you know, I kind of am not averse to that.
Yeah.
Also, the decision should be not the spouse's decision, but the person's decision. If the person's open to taking it, you know, fine.
Right.
But I find that people are very anxious. They're anxious about side effects. They're not going to see it as like, oh boy, this sounds great. I'm going to take it. I'm going to feel really great.
Uh-huh.
They're really down in the dumps. They're depressed. And they
yeah.
see everything negative and catastrophized.
Right.
So they're not
so
going to embrace
it. So they expect
some
kind of a consequence to
They're
going to
say, well, you know, I went and I looked up the side effects and I don't want it. You know, it's,
yeah.
but then it paralyzes them in misery.
Right.
So, you know, I think there's a strong anti-psychiatry movement in America.
There
you
is.
Know, which is based in some truth, is that psychiatry
yeah.
Over-prescribes medications for problems that are solvable with lifestyle modification, exercise, the right supplements, the right diet is
the right
big.
Diet is huge. The
There's
right social support.
There's a big article in the Wall Street Journal this summer about, you know, the diet for COVID anxiety.
Mm.
You know, the right diet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and they quoted a woman who is head of Department of Nutritional Psychiatry at Harvard University. So there's a whole
There's a nutritional psychiatry department, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
yeah.
should all start with diet. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it should start, but, you know, is it merely about diet? I mean, no.
No.
I mean, you have a vast experience in this. You know that diet can help.
It can.
Up to a certain point.
It can. That's true. Well, where we've really seen it help is an elimination diet if somebody was really reacting to something like gluten
mm-hmm.
or dairy. That could be life-altering if that's been the culprit the whole time. But if it's something like balancing blood sugar that's been unstable because they're not eating at the right times,
right.
or it's a poor diet, or it's too many carbs, or
so I was cleaning out my basement this weekend because I had a lot of downtime. You know, it's the holidays, we're sequestered, so there's not a lot of family, I got to the books that, you know, I packed up when we moved our office to here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had a lot of excess books and there was a big buy. So I looked through the books and it's like a lot of them are obsolete, you know, get rid of these books, you know, why keep them? There's no interest anymore because they're all outdated. Some are classics that I kept. I came across a 1951 book and it was in good condition and it was a first edition. called Body, Mind, and Sugar. And it's by a Dr. Abrahamson,
okay.
who was frequently quoted by Carlton Fredericks in the 1950s. And
it
elucidates in a very precise scientific way. In 1951, that's the year before I was born. So I'm 68 years old. That's a 69-year-old book, almost 70
wow.
years old. Where in 1951, this guy laid out the theory that a lot of psychiatric disorders were based on
yeah.
blood sugar irregularities
yeah.
and anxiety mm-hmm. and OCD mm-hmm. and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And he had case study after case study of just a case study of the transformative effects of diet.
You got to keep that book. Don't throw that one
out. It's going to be in my cherished pile,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
But it's great historical interest because
yeah.
that was recognized 70 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to, you know, 2020, now they have a Department of Nutritional Psychiatry.
Here we are, right.
Okay, so
yeah,
there's power to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have to be restrained in our use of these psych meds because
sure.
that's not the first resort. That's the last resort.
It should be the last resort. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. All right. So, Desert Boy, there's the advice.
And, you know,
for your wife.
Yeah. And look, I get that he's very, it's his, you know, he's holistically oriented. He's a,
sure.
He's a fan of this program. But that should not blind him to the potential that this might help his wife.
Right.
Who's suffering.
Right. Everything should be
yeah.
on the table.
Yeah.
And choose.
Yeah.
With all informed consent.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We have an email from Randy. Dr. Hoffman, years back, you had told me about Faisal fish oil. I presently take Super Faisal. I see now that you recommend Bio Omega. Fish oils. Is Bio-Omega fish oils enterocoded? I looked it up.
It's not.
Faisal is. Can you tell me why you switched fish oils and if Faisal is still recommended?
Well, here's the thing. Why enterically coat fish oil? And the answer is, if we want it to go to the intestine
yeah.
and not be pre-absorbed above where the site of action is.
Yeah.
So I don't remember. This was a patient, right?
Yes.
So I don't remember what this patient
had,
ulcerative
mm-hmm.
colitis or Crohn's disease,
mm-hmm.
you know, but probably I prescribed Faisal because I wanted to bathe her intestines in fish oil.
Yeah.
Because...
tamp down the inflammation.
Yeah, the disadvantage you get with these enteric coatings is that generally there's less space for the fish oil, so there's less potency. So it's good quality, but I think Nature's
one.
Way makes Faisal. Right?
I believe so, yes.
Right. So it's mm-hmm. available, you know, over the counter. It's also available through FullScript.
Mm-hmm.
The Bio-Omega is the professional line. It's more potent than Faisal, not enterically coated. But, you know, I'm not even sure, you know, 20 years after initially reading about the effects of enteric coated fish oil, I'm not entirely sure that it matters that much what form the fish oil is in
yeah.
for colitis. And studies are sort of equivocal on the benefits of fish oil for colitis.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you got to take an awful lot of fish oil to get those benefits.
True.
Like you have to take
nine a day.
9 a day, 12 a day, 15 a day.
Yeah.
You know, quite a lot of fish oil.
Yeah. So. All right. But the Faisal is just fine.
The Faisal is fine. It's not bad.
It's not bad. You could like a lot of different fish oils. It's not that you prefer one over the other. And it's also the type has to do with the condition that you're treating. So,
yeah, I mean,
as well.
Because,
and the amount.
I mean, I recommend Bio-Omega. They're a very fine manufacturer of fish oil. Made by Biotics.
Okay. Randy, thank you for that. All right. We have one from Joe. Hi, doctor. I read your paper on the vaccine, and it's very interesting, to say the least. I value your opinion on these subjects. What is your take on people like Robert Kennedy Jr. that say Dr. Fauci is in cahoots with Big Pharma?
Okay, that's a preview for part two, because that's an essay question.
It's an essay question,
and
yes.
So let's
we might need an essay answer.
Yeah, it's an essay answer. Part two, we'll take up the question of the vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mudin. It's our last podcast for 2020, Good Riddance. And we'll continue with part two in just a moment. Stay with us.